Hi guys, and welcome to Pop Sessions, and we are officially now in sessions. Of course, this is a debut episode of our very first podcast on Central Radio. So I'm just going to kickstart with introducing every single person that's on the table this morning. Oh, this afternoon, actually. It's 12:25. Yeah, so it's noon, officially. I'm going to start from my right. I have my very able producer. Her name is Tom Banjo. Tom, what's up? How are you doing?
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Well, we're fine. Everybody, what's up? How are you doing?
We're fine.
All right. Okay, so next is Nana from Central Market. Of course, you guys know her. She's been holding Central Market down since forever. What's up, Nana?
I'm fine, but you can just call me Nancy, right?
All right. Okay. Not the branded name. Okay, Nancy. After her, we have a stunning, beautiful, amazing, you know, flower. Alright, it is Bola on the radio. I chose to call her that, but I don't care if she doesn't like it.
Hello.
Alright. And yes, we have the man of the hour in navy blue, because that's a strong color. Okay, so Yinka is also here with us. What's up, Yinka? How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, sure. All right, Laju Mabiak, I'm going to say your name because I don't want you to introduce yourself.
Is that right? No problem.
No, you can introduce yourself still.
I know. Hey, guys. How y'all doing? It's Laju. Ignore Rashina.
All right, and lastly but not the least is, drumroll, boom, Ati Omo Jerry, of course. And she will be joining us on the podcast. Everybody here is an amazing person. Can't wait to, you know, kickstart the conversation, which we have titled, Is Police Your Friend? Now, of course, the police, as we know, is a physical embodiment of the law, and, you know, they're here to serve and protect. But sometimes, you know, that has come to the contrary, as some of us have experienced, you know, the police one way or the other. And I just want us to kickstart with the question, is the police actually your friend? And can you share any, you know, positive or negative encounters that you've had with them one way or the other? So I'm going to start with Butcher.
Well, is the police my friend? I'm going to say that's a big no for me.
All right, why is that?
One, they actually do, you know, a profiling that always falls short of, you know, whatever it is. Two, they're very prejudiced to young men. And three, I have this very, very unexplainable feeling that every time I see a policeman, it's always one of three things. It's either they're going to arrest me, harass me, or collect bribe from me.
All right, so I'm going to ask you a question before I move on to another person. Was there any situation where, you know, all of these theories, I would not call them theories because they're practical, you've experienced it firsthand.
Pretty much.
So was there any time this was a different case?
I think once, just all one right. time only, and that was years back, and that was because that was a police officer that actually helped us in a situation that, honestly, all the other ones would actually ask for help, kind of just, you know, shout, you know, like, oh, no, not my business. This one helped. But aside from that, I've not really had a good, you know, relationship with the police.
All right, fantastic. Thank you very much. All right, we're going to move to Tong. Tong, what's up? Have any experience with the police?
I don't think I've had so many experiences in person, but I've heard many stories. But for, like, the little experiences I've had, it hasn't been particularly, like, the best. So I wouldn't say the police is my friend, because I remember one time I misplaced my ID card and I went to report to the police officer about, well, how do I get it back? And I laid a complaint and they were like, hey, how you feel lost your ID card like that? You have to pay to 5,000 now. You go yaba, we go sweat. I'm like, this makes absolutely no sense, because I was in dire need of that ID card to get something the next Monday. But they weren't particularly the most helpful, and they had this very condescending tone that, you two, why are you very this? So even if it was a theft instance, it would still be your fault for being robbed and losing your ID card. Or instances where you're on the road and you're probably going back home, like when the curfew was still at 8 p.m. I remember going home with Laju and a random police officer stopped us and we showed him our press pass and the letter, and he was like, press for what? You could have just gone to replicate it. We can't let you pass. And I was like, what does that even mean? And he was like, small children like you. Why are you still outside? What is a press? I was just like, wow, it's absolutely unnecessary.
Oh my God.
But yeah, that's been my experience. So
okay,
far.
So before we move on to another person, I just want to say groundbreaking explanation because you got into character. All right, typical police, right? Before we move on to another person, everything that you guys have just explained is, you know, sort of what you would, you know, find if you're a young person and you're, you know, probably outside at past 8 o'clock and you meet them, you're driving a car, you're a young person, you look dapper, they're like, why are you this good looking? And I'm here, you know, just not, you know, looking the part. You know? And they're just angry. So yes, I do understand what you're saying, but let's move on to Nancy with the glasses. Yeah. What's up, Nancy?
So mine would be a capital N-O. Yeah, not mine. No way. Okay, so my experience was, I was in the car with my brother and we're in Festac and they stopped and they're like, bring out your driver's license. So they checked my brother, everything was there. Then they looked at me. Who is this girl? My brother was like, that's my sister. He said, lie! This is your girlfriend. Please, auntie, bring out your bag. I want to check if you're carrying drugs. And I was like, why? Like, we need to check your bag. I was like, I'm not bringing out my bag. I'm not bringing out my purse. Nothing like that. They're like, you have to. I was like, you can't do that. This is my brother. Like, where is the proof that this is your brother? I was like, don't you see the resemblance? Should we call our mother? And they're like, no, you don't have to be like that. Luckily for us, we saw a friend of ours as passing by and he was another person now. And maybe they saw him. They're like, we hailed at him and was like, oh, what's happening? And we explained the situation. And they're like, ah, we do not know, guys. Not like that.
This was like an intervention.
Yes.
Okay, well, also very similar. Ati, how about you?
I think I choose to be indifferent about if I like them or not.
All right.
Because you can decide to actually be good when they have to be and not good. Because I've seen some police who are just really, like, really enthusiastic about their work.
Yeah.
Police workers. There are a lot of them that I grew up knowing and were doing well. But let's look at it. They have problems. They have problem because I think one personal experience I had was when I was young, this drunk policeman bashed my mom's car and he was just like no and everything. My mom just looked at him, read the name and all of that, then went to their headquarters and started yelling, you have to repair my car. So that was how the commissioner came out and said, oh, please don't be angry and all of that. Like, why would you, if you are against someone bashing another person's car, you're in charge of the law to arrest people and you are the same person doing the same thing. So I think they have laws, but they don't follow the laws. They don't follow the rules. So.
All right, Ati, I'm going to give it to you. I like how you started from, I'm going to, you know, go indifferent about this, but then you started solidly and then you bashed him on the head. It's a great way to, you know, go about it. Okay, let's move on to Yinka. Yinka, what's up? I feel like this is one, you know, opinion that everybody wants to hear. So drum roll and popcorn. Sit down. And popcorn.
So all what's right. My question, eh?
Okay, so who is the police to you? And, you know, what are some of the experiences that you've had with them? Good or bad?
Okay, so, I mean, I've had enough experiences with the police to perhaps write a book or two. And first of all, I'd say the concept of is police your friend or not is something that needs to be properly explained.
All right.
You know, that's just a branding. It's a tagline. You know, don't take it to heart. And it's not part of what being a police really is around here.
Sure.
You know, and even in the places that we expect, that's what part of in policing should be. We saw they just killed somebody last week. You know, so the concept of police is your friend. It's just a marketing or a sales word that was used to try to bring the community, you know, and the police together. Meaning that these guys care about your security, they care about your blah, blah, blah.
Your safety.
And that's why they're your friends. But the question is, have you heard when they say that the enemy, the friend of my enemy is my enemy?
Is your my enemy, yeah.
So think about it like that. Because the police is meant to catch the armed robber that's probably going to rob you, does that make him your friend?
Yeah.
He's not your friend. Police is not your friend, right? You know? So, but I get it. Mm-hmm. But then the sense of it generally is that the police, are they doing exactly what we expect them to do? Now, in different countries, the setup of the police are completely different. People in the political space have been clamoring for community policing. And what that means is that you will know the people that are policing the community, the people that are policing you. Do you understand? The sense of it is that the police are not really meant to be living in some barracks or in some funny place. They're supposed to be your neighbors. They're supposed to know you, you know, and that's what it's meant to be. And that happens here already too, because most DPOs in any area, they know more than you think. They know whoever just moved in. They know, you know. So my first experience with the police really was growing up. My parents had this hotel back in the north, and every quarter or something, we used to go take all the forms to submit to the CID. The CIDs are now the police, you know. So they go through all of those things and they find out, okay, who is new in town and all of that. So, yeah. I usually don't like to think of it like police is my friend. I just want to think of it like the police is the law enforcement arm of the government, mm-hmm. and that's what it is. In terms of good or bad experience, like I said, I've got so many. One of them is, I'll tell you one or two of them. The first one is, my wife and I were dating back in uni, and we used to go to this friend of ours who, you know, had a radio audio studio. You know, we used to go create music and all of that, you know. So for some reason, we left, we took a walk, and we're on the street, and a police van approached us. And when they got to us, just before they got to us, you know, and we're playing, and I grabbed her, and I was going to pull her, and that's how the police stopped. I said, we charge you for romancing on the street.
What?
I'm sorry.
Is that even a crime?
Yes.
Excuse me?
So it was three of us, and they left my other friend and packed the two of us into the truck.
Wow. Just like that?
Just like that. Wow. It was late. It was about 11:30 at night.
What?
And we were just taking a walk not far from our house.
Wow.
And they took us, and so Bola wasn't going to keep quiet. She just kept lashing and yabbing at them, calling out their ancestors and their fathers and everything. And
wow.
I was just there quiet, like, you know, because I had an experience with them shortly before that time, which was, you know, a different story entirely. You know, so we ended up at the police station. I had to call somebody, da da da, and they came to get us. And I mean, our charge in short was they charged us for romancing on the street.
To interject a little bit, that was the actual charge.
That was it wasn't written. I mean, I can give you a lot of, okay, there's another charge. There was a time I was also arrested with my friend. We were in uni then. I mean, I had a lot, you know, it got to a point that I had to talk to myself that I have to stop getting in with the police.
The police.
Because it was every day. You know, and we're young, we're like 20, 21, so it was, you're ready to even beat up a police officer.
I mean, at that point.
Impossible.
I mean, someone charges me for romance.
So let me tell you this other one. There's this day we're going, my friend and I, in his car, back in uni, and I was really pressed. So we're driving fast, so we'll get to my apartment. That was how the police stopped us. And this, my friend, it's a bad idea if both of us are angry at the same time.
Right.
It's better if one is calm. And so he got out and he was already agitated. I was like, I shouldn't come out now. Because if I come out now, even, you know, that's how. And I came out. And the police were like, this is, you know what? I just called him. I said, you know what? I was really pressed, you know. Mm-hmm. Enter the car, let's go. I need to enter the car. We drove off. So we drove off. Unknown to us, there are two police cars on that road. That's how they chased us. And we're not going to stop. So they chased us, they double crossed us, and they pulled the gun at us. Like five guns at us. Like
some Fast and Furious kind of thing.
I mean, it was crazy. And you see, because we're young, we're not scared. He was a law student. His dad was like a human rights activist. Ooh. And the guy started quoting laws, and they were like, no way, you're going with us.
No kidding.
That was how that thing. I mean, at the end of the day, the police guy went to the back and put the gun at our neck and she started driving. So I said I wasn't going to go to the back. I was sitting in front and my friend was also going to drive. I said, fine. So they took us, to the police station. And you know what? On our way, we put on the music and we're doing, you know? So you see, there's something about young people really that's very annoying. I mean, thinking about it, that was very annoying, mm-hmm. completely disrespectful.
All right.
So we got to the police station. I mean, my friend looked a bit calmer than I did. And I mean, he got there. Before I knew it, they gave me a dirty slap. So they looked at me. They said, this one is going to be dangerous. They now put me at the back of the counter.
How did they tell
me? And we're just there. They said I should write a statement. And I said I wasn't going to write anything. You know what I was charged for?
I
was charged for bearing nonsense in mind. I charge you for bearing nonsense in mind.
So my face right now is. I mean, think on that note, we're just going to end with Yinka. Thank you very much for the chronicle. You do have a book with the police. You do have a book. It's a whole book. All right. So we're going to go. We're going to go with one last person first. One before we move on to the next conversation. I've not heard from Bola. So Bola, what's up? Did you have any bad encounters with the police separately?
Aside from romance.
Yeah, aside from
romance. Oh, Lord. I said
my girlfriend then. Did I say it's her?
Wait, no, no, no. No, I mean, you just, you outed yourself right now. You outed yourself right now, all right? So, Bola, let's hear from Bola.
So, I've had tons.
Enough to write a book, too.
But first, I'd like to start with, I think we deal with, I mean, the police and the community, we deal with each other with lots of bias.
True that.
Even if you've never had an experience with the police, because of the many stories that you've heard, once a policeman stops you, you're on the defensive. Like, what? As in, before you wind down. Or when you see them ahead.
Poker face.
You know, so you're already on that edge because you've heard so many stories. And, I mean, the same thing with them. They know how young people are likely to behave. I mean, you really don't care.
Right.
You don't respect them. So half the time, they are trying to demand respect from you.
So do you think that sets the tone?
Definitely. I mean, you're already both on the edge of being aggressive. Right. So things will go 0 to 100 real quick. Someone is distracting me here.
It was a story I remembered, but carry on.
So having said that, I'd like to share one experience. When I was much younger in university, I was very stubborn. Very stubborn, very mouthy. So I used to drive back then, right? I was driving through, I think I was going to school. I don't know what came over me that day. Anybody that knows Ilorin well, there are some police people at Flower Garden. Hell, Jesus Christ.
So before Bola goes on, I just want to say that Yinka, you are completely outing yourself on this podcast. So every time when you're attesting. All right, let's go on.
So I was driving from Tanker towards post office. So I was on Flower Garden. Then the policeman stopped. I had made up my mind that I'm not stopping for any policeman today. One, I'm not sure I had papers. I didn't have a driver's license. I mean, but Ilorin is his town, you know, his home. So I didn't stop. Next thing, I saw a guy cock a gun. Then I went forward, made a U-turn, then came back. When I was coming back, they didn't stop me. Then I stopped. I'm like, I just passed here now. Which of you cocked a gun at me?
Then
they looked
really
at each
that?
Other. They looked at each other and said, "No, be me." I was like, don't ever in your life try that nonsense again. Then I drove off.
Wow. The audacity. The audacity, fam.
Remembering that situation. The moment I drove off, I was laughing hysterically.
Because you know.
And I need to describe myself back then. I used to drive this old Camry, right? And I was very tiny. When I say petite, I used to wear a UK 4. That's a US 0. And very short. When I'm driving, you literally can't see my head.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So you have to look out for who's driving the car. So I just felt the only way I could analyze the situation was that, one, for this girl to turn back and come and ask this type of question, we don't know whose daughter she is, before she lands us in trouble. And so that has always been, I've always approached the police from that point of view of what waiting say. But as I got older, sometimes depending on my mood, I just, when I see how they approach you, you just counter it either by being very jovial or being soft, or sometimes you just go crazy. But I mean, generally, I think the brand of the police in Nigeria has been consistent. Anywhere you go to, any city, any town, any village, they give you, it's as if they went to school for this thing. They represent that other side of the police,
you know, that
very,
system is
very
really...
well and very, very nicely. Nicely done. So in general, if we say, is police your friend? You have to about it. But, you know, just not to talk about all bad experiences. I can't say I've really experienced a good experience personally, but I've been in a situation where I've heard of. We used to ride, and there was this riding community, a bikers group, and a couple of bikers had issues, like, say, 11 p.m. or something, somewhere on Ozumba here, and they got stuck. I think their tire busted or something, and they didn't have fuel in the bike. In short, there was no way they could get help. Then some of these mobile police guys were riding, the ones with the RRS with the bikes,
right.
And they stopped. And these guys got on their knees, fixed their tire. One of them took a keg, went to get... No, I think they took fuel from their own bike and put it in this other biker's bike. And the guy was like, what do I give you? And they're like, no, I just hope you're fine. They didn't take any money. And by the time the biker got home, he got home to a text from this other police guy asking, guy, are you safe? Are you home now? Oh, wow. He had to share it in the biking community. Like, I've never seen... These are literally angels.
All right.
So I'd agree with Atioma when she says, when they want to be good, they have the capacity to be. But then, why are they consistently like this? Is it because of the economy? Is it because of... these guys half the time can barely feed themselves. Sometimes when they come to you, it's from a point of inferiority. Because they know that you're... They wish they were where you are. So maybe half of the time is a... Jealousy. It's just hate, right?
If you don't mind, sorry, talking about inferiority, I think young people need to really calm down.
All right.
Need to really calm down. There was a day, we were coming from school as usual, so the police stopped us, and the guy said... why are you people behaving like that? I stopped you that time. No, sir. Is it because you are a graduate? I'm a graduate too.
You know? Don't ask
you. So when he said I'm a graduate too, so one of my friends, I was there, he said, graduate. Which university you go to? The guy now said, I did SC. Now I said, SC. That's not graduate.
And then,
you rubbed
and
it then, in.
And the guy rubbed it in a very, like, you know, so sometimes we go the length to... Everybody needs to just calm down.
Yeah.
You know, they need to.
Well, I mean, we're still going to, you know, go on to talk about other things, but I'm just going to point out something before we move forward. So I understand the sense of you saying that, you know, young Nigerians need to really calm down, but that's like one standpoint. And the stories are overly saturated in society right now about the police is not exactly very positive. And that's why when you spoke about, you know, them getting on the news to fix the tire and everything, it was very unbelievable for a lot of us. Yes,
yeah.
Because we understand that we're young people, but primarily youthful exuberance is one of the things that's been normalized because they understand that at some point we outgrow these things. And that's why as a police officer, I feel like, you know, you should understand the psychology of your environment and know that this is how these people are going to behave. And that's why there's always a difference in approach if they meet like an older person. Oh, where are you going? Oh, okay, thank you, sir. Bye-bye, have a great night. But then they see us and it's a different conversation. Do you understand? So I understand the standpoint. It's just, it's their job to understand these things and not necessarily allow one part of that perspective to, you know, outshine the other, and everything just has to have a balance. But moving forward,
sorry, I'd like to add quickly to what you said. But you know, you need to put the culture. There's a color.
All right.
To what is expected. So while you expect that, they should understand that young people will behave in a certain way.
All right.
But we still live in an environment where respect is everything. Once someone is older than you, either by hours, you're expected to add and tea to the
minutes.
You know, even by minutes. So the policeman also expects that the fact that he's in a uniform, the fact that because you're young, they assume that of course you're younger. There should be that reverence the moment you see them first. So while you, there's so many things. I mean, if we look at it, there are things you do with your mom or your dad that you get away with, but you can't do it with another person's mom or dad. Yeah. There's still that respect, and there's a see finish here. So we can't always expect that, oh, they should understand that this is how young people... Once young people also understand that that is how they are. So why aren't you also approaching them from that point of knowledge?
Well, I mean, we're supposed to actually move on to another topic, but I think I'm not exactly going to counter that. I'm just going to say something. There's also a culture of see finish because of the attitude they have towards the job. And that's how we've now seen them moving forward. Do you understand? And that's why one time when a certain person was speaking to us about respect, he said, you know, it's reciprocal and it's also mutual. And it comes with the fact that, you know, I've identified something in you that I don't necessarily have. And when it gets to a point, you know, I allow you to speak and thrive in that environment because I know I don't have that potential. And I feel like as a police officer, you have to have that before we can respect you. And over time, moving forward, you know, we begin to hear cases like, you know, extortion, bribery, you know, you even have a POS with you so you can extort money from people. I mean, that's just really ridiculous. I mean, so that culture is how we now see the police, and that's why there's a constant disrespect. But also, we're going to have to move into the next conversation. It's bribery and sense of entitlement, you know, with the police officer. And now this is one of the major conversations that has now allowed for, you know, several, you know, situations of disrespect. You know, you're going on your own, they stop you officially, they're supposed to ask you what you're doing, maybe ask for some sort of identification process, you know, you bring that out, and even as at that, they ask you things like anything for boys, you know, that just distorts my knowledge of you. Do you understand? It's already such a, you know, divine job. You understand? You're there to protect, and honestly, there's a lot of finesse, you know, to being a police person. Do you understand? It means that you're representing the legislature. It's a big deal. So when you calm down and then ask me anything for boys, so you're a boy, that's what you're saying.
Literally.
Exactly. So I'd like to know, you know, I feel like everybody can relate, you know, I mean, at some point, there was even a culture of 20 naira, and then they, you know, levitated to 50 bucks, and then 100 naira. And then nowadays, they even give you change, you get? I mean, so does anybody have any, Ati, let's go with you.
Me, went to school there. All right. We have checkpoints. We have readiness checkpoints.
All right.
Notice that even when I travel to other states, maybe I don't want to mention the name of states, they also have their own amount that they collect, and they have change. They be like, and the funny one was, I think, coming back to where Bola Inka, what they talked about, if you went to the school that they went to, because I went to the same school, you would have had encounters.
Please, can we say the name of the school?
Why not?
If you went to University of Ilorin, you would have had encounters. Not, like, it's countless. They come to you, especially SARS, they come to you, what are you doing? Why are you holding your phone? This.
Yeah, I legit... SARS nowadays.
Oh, they were SARS in my days. That's the good thing they had. But during my time, we had SARS everywhere. To the extent that the university had to write to their... anti-robbery squad, please, we don't want you around the students. You're, you know, creating fear and all of that. They come to you all the time. I can remember times they when this Yahoo boy thing came up, they came to raid our hostels. They have to extort. Some people had to pay like maybe 50k on like on the spot with POS just to like get out of this whole issue. So it was like University of Ilorin now has a serious history with SARS, police, and even a lady self. I'm always scared. I always have one vex money so that if I'm coming back at night or late, I can just
money. Oh, yeah, because so very important.
And it comes down to what you're saying, that when they forget that they are upholding the law, you can imagine them asking me for money, a young girl like me for money, and you expect me to respect you. It doesn't add up. They will say, what the excuse they'll give is, hey, are you not a graduate?
Do you understand?
Like, didn't you go to school?
So if I may, I think at the end of the day, we're a product of
system.
Who we are generally, you know. So I think this is a breakdown of the country as itself on its own. And the police is one of the expressions,
right,
but it's not alone there.
you've got the lecturers in university also, the sex for grades and stuff.
All right.
Even when not sex for grades, the lecturers write the projects. Yeah, and all of that. So there has been so much breakdown in different areas.
All right.
As far as even religion, you know. Now, I remember there was a Catholic priest that was saying at some point that the Pentecostal churches and this whole serious religion and all of this, you know, big deal thing about, you know, churches, that it went up when Nigeria's economy went down. Yeah, and this is his analysis. People needed to grasp something. It's opium. People needed to grasp something. I mean, the Catholic Church, yeah, the Catholic Church, the Anglican Church would not preach you prosperity. They just want you to come to church and drop some money. People don't drop plenty money now. You know, it's not a, I know of that, because if you're well-to-do, people who are well-to-do come up and probably build a church or do whatever, but nobody is choking you to drop money and God will visit you in a miraculous way. Nobody does all of that. But when the entire government, when everything went nosedived, when it was commercial businesses and everything started having problems, people lost their jobs, there was no hope in sight. People needed to hold on to something. And it's easy for you to go to someone who is praying and saying, the Lord will deliver you today from all your this. It's easy for someone to tell you, somebody from your village that's following you. It now begins to make sense. And, you know, it's based on all the conversation also before that. I mean, somebody sells off a company generator. Imagine Steve now sells off our generator and he now carries the money to his pastor. Do you get, you know? So this is a breakdown. So the police is just one of the breakdown. Now look at the police barracks, for instance.
All right.
Now, my friends and I have always talked about it, that how do you maltreat someone so badly that you pay him so little, you put him in a bad house, and you give him an AK-47. Now, there is a programming that's already going on with the police. And the people that are programming them, they know what they're doing, and they know how it's done. They are completely under control.
Absolutely.
How come is the guy with the AK-47 that you can pay to follow you to go somewhere? Now, everybody knows how it works at the end of the day. So it's like a lion with the claws and everything, but cannot bite. So at the end of the day, all of these guys now begins to cascade back into the society several ways. And that's why the Yahoo boys are one of the biggest problems for them, because it's the first semblance of a young person being successful. Right? Now, we're not saying we know how we got the money or not, but this guy looks good, clean shave, nice car, but that could be me. And I'm right here in the sun, carrying an AK-47. In black outfit, and they're paying me 40k, and I'm living in some whatever place, you know.
Six children.
Because of this discussion, I had to look through their salary. You can imagine a police recruiter. I'm doing all the stress.
Yeah, I think
collecting
9,000
naira. 9,000, annually, I'm collecting 108,000 naira. A police constable grade level.
Is that the real salary?
Okay, yes, so yes, I actually looked into that, because I have that information before, but I had to fact check. So I forwarded that to someone who I know who's in the force, and they had said that Wikipedia had not updated that in recent times.
Okay.
But that the first 9,000 naira that you see there is actually very accurate. As at 3 years ago, that's how much they were taking. And in fact, now it's still equivalent to 9,000 naira, because at the end of the day, when the month ends, they're not exactly getting the salary as they should. So even if it's coming in, like, it's a pile up, do you understand? Like, maybe
it's
February,
it's not consistent.
So you could still say it's 9,000 naira thereabouts. So it's still pretty much the same thing. But he, according to him, it's even worse than this. This is more articulate. You know, it's like, if I put this here and I send this to somebody, it means that this is how much I'm looking to get in a month. That's not how it is right now for them, because they don't even know if they're going to get it at the end of the month or at the end of the year.
At the end of the year.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's as
I mean, so I think at the end of the day, while we're like the victims, I think the police are the actual victims here.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
So, maybe.
I think most of the time.
I actually kind of have something to say on that aspect.
All right.
So I have a friend whose twin sister is actually part of the police, who's, you know, part of the police, or she's a police recruit. And I've been following up on some of the things she does, on, you know, the lifestyle she lives. And I remember that she and I were making a joke about it once. And she told me something that I kind of stuck with. She's like, it seems all fun and games to a lot of people. It seems all fun and games when you hear someone say, I'm a police, you know, I'm a police recruit and everything. But in all actuality, she's going through a lot, because in some cases they starve them. You know, so you're a police recruit, you're supposed to learn how to, you know, take care of this, self-defense, all these things, you know. And she says, yeah, they teach you some self-defense, they teach you, you know, they help you with fitness, but they also starve them. You know, so in a whole day, they'll probably give them food once a day, and it's probably very little.
Right.
You know, those kind of things. So it sort of builds up that anger inside them. Mm. And they take, and the thing is, they're not, look, the people above, you know, in power above them don't see it that way, because to them, I'm giving you what I feel is necessary for you. Take it or leave it.
Mm.
But to us that they let the anger out on, we're not seeing where the anger is coming from, which is why sometimes I tend to keep a very straight face when it comes to police.
All right.
The only time I feel like I need to respond to anything they do is if they push too far.
Okay.
And majorly because of the way, because of the way I look, you know, the beard, the hair, everything, they always push a little too far for me. Yeah, the profiling is unnecessary, and they push too far. And the moment I talk, it even adds extra pain to it. It just adds extra to my problem.
Like, that's what they say.
That's what, you know, I don't understand. Like, what's Nigerian?
What I know is that they don't like phonetics.
Not just phonetics. They don't even like it when people know their rights.
Yes.
That is,
no, I think one of the worst crimes you can ever commit is to tell the police my rights.
It doesn't make sense, because that is really unfair. I mean, first things first, as a police person, I'm supposed to feel safe. Regardless of whether or not you're my friend or not, I'm supposed to say, okay, fine, the police is here, I can report this to you, I can come to you about certain situations. But 9 times out of 10, you're going to run away. If I call there's a robbery in my house.
Mm. Okay, sorry guys. I have to leave in 5 minutes. So, but let me ask a question.
Okay.
Let me ask a question. Sorry, I'm going away from your line. So, besides Bola and I, if you guys became the president of Nigeria, what, I want to hear from everybody, what would you do about the police?
Well, for starters, I understand there's something that you said that was...
Because there's one part to criticize things. All there's right. one part to say, oh, this doesn't work, this is what should be done. Mm-hmm. And everything starts from ideas, I agree. I mean, you don't have the power to do that now.
All right.
But if you were, by adventure, you become the president of Nigeria, what would you do?
All right, so there's something that you said about, you know, a government that already has a system in mind. And that system is, the police is a reflection of that system, and they know what they're doing. And I think also reflecting or, backtracking to other conversations that I've had before. So one time I was listening to a conversation on social media about how the police in the United States, it's not exactly factual, but it's like it's not a conspiracy theory, but it is a theory. And most people have, you know, referenced that before. And then they said that, you know, the white government in the United States had, you know, hired or created the police so that they could, you know, prevent the black people from, you know, revenging or, you know, trying to fight them. So at the end of the day, the police is a reflection of an agenda, what people or government already has in mind.
Okay.
And it's up to you as a government to create that.
So what would you do?
So what I would do basically is just, you know, to reform and teach these people that.
What is this reform? What would you
do? The reform would have to be about passion and motivation and enthusiasm to actually do the job. So in the criteria to be a police, if I say that this is what you are going to go through, this is what you are going to go through when you come in it, because I think it's a choice. If I'm going to starve you, I'm going to have to let you know that I'm going to starve you. If you don't like it, you have to go away, just like you said. And if you like it, you come in.
Okay, can you tell us one visible thing? I mean, I get it. This is the idea. Right. This is the framework of the idea. Tell me one thing. One thing you would do.
I think I would just, you know, hire more younger people. That's what I would do.
You think young people want to work in the police?
I think I would. No, I think. I would hire more people, and also variety is the spice of life. I just need to put a bunch of people with different ideologies and philosophies in the police system, and that's all you need. I just think that.
Ati,
let Ati go first.
For me, coming back to what Laji said about them starving police officers and all. I went to a military school at some point, and one requirement for everyone is food. They would frustrate your life, but when it's time for you to eat, you must eat. And I think to reform the police system, it has to start with how they live. If I'm living in a barracks that does not have mosquito nets and all those kind of things, it affects my thinking. There's no development, there's no growth. So I think I would actually like to work on how they see things, how they live. Then you can now come to the mind, because if what they see is not the reality of what you're telling them, then they can't believe it. And also try and like he said, employ more young people, because I was reading something and I noticed a lot of old people are in the police, except for one lady in Lagos here that is doing a lot. She's quite young. So maybe when you employ, because
except for that's so definite. I know loads of young people in the police. I know loads of young people.
I think that's the one I do know. So, and I think for me, coming back to what Rashina was saying about forgotten the points now, that he was talking about young people and ideologies. So I think we just all need to employ more young people, like-minded people, because if the system is good, believe you me, a lot of young people would come in. I don't mind joining the police if the system is good, but I'm not going to join the police if I'm going to be starved.
Okay. Yeah, so thanks.
So one of the things I'm definitely going to say about to reform the police, first things first, I'm going to say there needs to be a psych evaluation on each person we're letting into it. You need to know the person.
After you give him food or before you give him food.
this is when they want, this is a recruitment, they're doing the recruitment period. There needs to be a psychological evaluation of each person you let in, because one, even when you give them food, some of these policemen obviously are well, you know, have other things they're doing. They are what they are well to do, but they still have that little aggressive bullying nature with them. Feeling that, you know what, I'm a person in power, you have to give me respect. So I feel like there needs to be a slight psych evaluation, knowing how this person thinks, what this person thinks like, and whether the person fits in with the ideology of police, which is to serve and protect, not to bully and, you know, batter. That's the ideology. That's one. Two, definitely need to change the way they live. I mean, you cannot put a person who's supposed to protect people in a place of squalor and starvation. It's the wrong and worst thing you can do to them. You're going to take the aggression out on people. There is no doubt about it.
Okay, Rashina, sorry, looks like I've hijacked your show, but I'm going very soon. So, I mean, going with what you said, they need to be well treated, the psych evaluation and everything. So one part I didn't tell you in the story I mentioned earlier was that while they told me to sit behind the counter while I was waiting, and, you know, they were threatening me that they were going to throw me into the guard room, into the cell. Interestingly, that day, I didn't care. I mean, that was some of my very heydays of training every day, so it wasn't, in my mind was like, oh, they said they used to beat people there. I'm like, the moment I go in, first thing I'll do is to lynch somebody, and by the time we cause a major fight, something's going to happen. But while I was thinking this in my mind, bearing that nonsense in my mind, which I was charged for, I overheard two police men talking, and it was sad. At the time they were going to release us around 1 a.m., I wish I could have taken their numbers and stuff, because they were talking about their colleagues and how they died. Some in line of fire, some out of health issues, no insurance, no this, some, I mean, all kinds of things. These guys are sad. Trust me, these guys are sad and they're going through stuff. These guys are right at the corridor, you know, of the worst of anything you can think of in this country. So you're broke, you're sad, you don't have money, you don't have anything, your kids can't go to the right school, and you have a gun, and you have to stand in the sun, and you have to stand to protect the rights of the people who do not respect you, and you have to stand to protect the rights of the people also who are not supposed to be doing something about your situation and not doing anything. So I listened to these guys. They were talking, they were mentioning names of their colleagues. They mentioned not less than 15 people. It was just a quiet moment between both of them. You know. Don't.
I think based on what you said, said, for me, I think in a system that doesn't celebrate or absolutely reward them, I feel it will get to a point where you will not feel valued, or you feel that your input isn't particularly valued. So I feel what would drastically change the police system would be actually rewarding them. Nobody can survive on 9,000 naira with three children living in a barracks. And I know my school was very close to a barracks, and I had friends that were police children, and they would come and tell me how their moms have to manage the house while their dads are out, because he's probably going somewhere to go and drink out his sorrows, then come out in the night and stand by a barricade. So I feel like if you're paid properly and the training and selection process is done properly, you don't take people that don't particularly have interest in protecting or doing things like that, and over time you reward people so they rise up the ranks. So if you can see that it's a system that actually works, and because I put in so much energy and I do this, I solve this crime problem, I do this, I do that, I am going to get rewarded, I'll get to the next level and I'll earn more, that system of reward would enable more people to aspire to be better and solve problems within the community. I also think that a community policing system would be really nice, where the police officers can have definite interaction with people in the community, and they can foster relationships that would help them not feel like the enemies of the community, but they will also feel like friends, and they can always relate with the people within the community to prefer solutions to the underlying problems.
Right.
Okay. So for me, it will be having a course in universities. Yeah, creating a course for police enforcement.
Do you know about the police academy?
Yeah, I know about it, but I feel like most people might not want to go there, so why don't you have it in universities where people can actually have courses on this? Then
is it to join the police or to know about the police?
To know about the police, first of all. Sorry. Yeah, to know about the police. Then secondly, before you employ anybody saying that I want to join the police force, you have to be a graduate, because we already know that they don't like graduates because they didn't graduate. So let all of them graduate. It should be part of the
Lord.
It should be, yeah.
Shot fired.
Because when you know that they're graduates, you know that you can't pay them peanut like 9,000 naira. That's nothing that's affecting them. Their salary.
There's some graduates that earn 9,000 right now.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But
so I just want to understand where you're coming from. Why a graduate in what? Why do you need a graduate to hold an AK-47 or something? Why do you need a, I mean, there are different things in the police that people.
No, I can answer that. I feel like you need a graduate because
they are more rational.
What is it about being a graduate?
No, I don't think that's why. It's not. I don't think it's about being a graduate. Essentially, it's just about being knowledgeable and, you know, figuring out how to apply knowledge in itself.
We can learn that from the police training.
Yeah. Well, so do you need to be a graduate?
Not everything. Because I mean, we've seen situations where there's a directive from the federal government or the state government, which you're supposed to be in constant liaison with, and you don't even understand that. So it's knowledge, and knowledge is light. I mean, how are you telling me that as an essential worker, I'm out on the road past curfew, and you're assuring me that someone who said that nobody should be here, the curfew is for everybody? And it is clear, I just read it on the news, that there's a directive put out by your government that we can be out. So I'm the one who has to educate you.
Do you need a graduate?
We're saying graduate because it's a conventional approach to being knowledgeable.
Atiomo, the whole graduate thing is overrated. Because if I'm to speak from, what I do every day, a lot of graduates are nothing to write home about. Let's face it. Especially looking at the quality of education and all of that. So being a graduate is not equal to having sense or even using the sense.
Wow.
Sometimes the sense is there, but even being able to use and engage that sense. It's something else entirely. Looking at the example you gave about the Sanwo-Olu and the directive that is out, I mean, we have situations where people receive simple emails and have troubles comprehending. I mean, come on. It has zero. It has nothing to do with your level of education, but how much you're using what you have within your environment. But I wanted to speak to this. I think if I was president, or if I am president, I would simply just create a new vision for the police. I would look at a kid. Every day I look at my kids. We're driving out and they see a policeman. They're so excited.
lighted. Like, oh, see the police are lighted. Yeah, because they're, you know, uniform, and because somehow they kind of feel like they are backed by the government, they actually are an extension of the government. It's actually something to be proud of. I think it's that pride that has left. There's nothing to be proud of in the work that they do right now. So everything that they're doing is devoid of. So everything that we have mentioned will then be put into place to ensure that pride is projected. If you look at, has anybody tried to go to Nigerian police website? You know what it looks like. Or the Nigerian army's website.
It's pretty blind.
You look at an average person in America, and they tell you about veterans, and you see how much respect they have for the people who are fighting because of the stories. We are not a people that appreciate stories. Look at the story Yinka gave, and he was all that in his head until he began to hear these people's stories. I don't think we listen to each other's stories enough. We're all about ourselves. We know where the shoe is pinching us, but you don't know what's going on with the other person. I don't think anybody wakes up in the morning saying, oh, I'm going to go and harm somebody, or I'm going to be upset with Nana today, or I'm going to... No, but things happen. You know, there was a time I was having a conversation with a front desk person, and I'm like, see, your entire job is, you don't know what somebody is coming into this place with. But sometimes a smile is enough to just dissolve whatever is going on. I might be very angry, or maybe I wasn't even angry. It might be the security guy that just ticked me off. And the next person I see is most likely going to be a transfer of aggression. So how do I react? And not expect that, no, but you shouldn't be talking to me like that. You should know. How about how I'm taking it? How about how me giving you an excuse or trying to understand probably what you're going through? So I think, first of all, that's glory and honor that should come with that office, or should come with that uniform, should be the ultimate priority. It will inform how they are treated. It will inform... Do you think if an average police... station looked like our banks, do you think they would be misbehaving the way they do? No. Have you ever been to a police station before?
It's pretty raggedy.
Their chairs are broken. Mm-hmm. They're like public school desk and chairs. It's terrible.
Even the colors are sad.
Exactly. Thank you.
The colors are really sad.
I mean, if they had Pop Central colors, it would probably be jumpier.
Brighter. Yeah, I mean.
So I think maybe, you know, the full revamp on the way things have already been in the past would actually help them a lot, because I've actually been inside a police station, all the way down to even going down to the cells to, you know, because of mom's stuff and church and everything, all the way down to going to the cells. And just being in there, I felt like any bit of happiness I had was sapped out, was legitimately taking out of me the moment I walked through the gate. So I can't imagine how it is for them having to be there 24/7, or going through shifts, coming in,
and all.
You know, on top of that, I also understand where Yinka was coming from, where he talked about how, you know, they lost colleagues. I mean, yes, fine. One of the things and we've heard this in movies as well, and I think a few people have told me before, is as a policeman, you don't know if you're going to go back home every time you go to work. Because every day there's a crime being committed. You don't know how severe the crime is, and you may be called in for something that could lead to your death.
All right.
As a policeman.
Okay, right. So...
Sorry, I wanted to say something.
Right.
Like, to just... You know, Nana was talking about graduates and non-graduates. If you look at the military system, we have a system that helps both graduates and non-graduates. And the most important thing that I seem to see in this whole thing is that they have a law that is... It's just there. There's nobody that can just change it anyhow. Even as a child that went to military school, you must be clean. You must be neat. If you like, be sergeant or be a gate man, your shoe must be shining. Yes. Like, you must look... Who sees a military man and just says they are stupid? They're not born you well. Like, they will slap you.
You said you have respect.
Like, there's a respect to the uniform. There's a respect to how you treat your uniform. You see a policeman looking very dirty and haggard. You can't see that with a military man.
I'm sorry. Have you noticed that they are not fit? You see a policeman with pot belly.
They are not fit.
And excuse me, but also pointing out something as well. I honestly feel like at the end of the day, it's just the government that, you know, has the major, you know, role here to play. And really, we do have to, you know, do better with the government. I mean, look at, there's a government that backs up the military, and that's why it's like that. It's so, you know, finessed. It's so structured.
I just backs up the police too.
But their jobs are very different. You know, similar but still very different.
I think they need to put more funds to the police.
Yeah, well, of course, that's well established.
I'm not sure the problem is funds.
I honestly don't feel like it's funds as well.
Look, you can put so much funds in the police.
I don't think that it's fun. I think what we need to do basically.
To break it down, actually, that all right. Even if you put a lot of funds in the police, how are the funds shed down?
Okay. All right. So, basically, what I think before we move on to the next conversation is just there needs to be a narrative or a conversation of appraisal, just like Joan said. It doesn't necessarily have to be funds or, you know, building an entire castle for the police officer. First off, appraisal, a culture of appraisal, motivation, and also a system that can identify who really wants to work as a police officer and who doesn't, basically. And, you know, then we can filter out the bad eggs and, you know, the good ones.
So, sorry, before I go further, the reason why I talked about graduates, because I also know this, it also happens in the military and the Air Force and the Navy also. So, for you to be for the Nigerian Navy, when you can be, I think, an officer, I've forgotten the rank, you have to be a graduate, actually. You cannot just enter there.
You still have to go through at least 2 years training.
That's so that's my point. So, all the ratings, all the ratings at the gates, the police officer, all of them with the lower ranks, they are hardly graduates. So that on the other end is like
there are different roles. Different roles. I mean, you have people who do just music and they're part of the force.
You have
medical people and they're part
carpenters,
of the
shoemakers.
They need it's like in the legal system where you say there are people who are paralegals. Not everybody has to be a lawyer. Not everybody has to go to law school. There are people, they still need their cleaners and they will be in uniform. They're considered force men, right? So not every role requires you having that level of education. So it will be, let's not cloud ourselves with that. But the essential thing is the culture that exists within that space. If there's a culture of respect, a culture of even, you know how they say in Yoruba, they'll say Omoba Kokin Doti Are, something like that. Basically, what that means is that because you're a child of a king, because you're royalty, you don't behave like a slave. But the truth is, royalty that does not know that he's royalty is no different from a slave. Because you don't even know what it is that you stand for, which is why I spoke to the sense of pride, the sense of you need to know what it is. As I mean, it was a simple question that was asked here one day that was saying, what's your contribution, what is your place? If you have an understanding of your place, it doesn't matter if Laju doesn't know who I am. It doesn't change who I am. It's just him lacking that knowledge for that time. So there needs to, they need to come to that point where they understand who they are and they take pride in who they are, whether they are the cleaners or the sweepers. Well, at least you are a sweeper in Pop Central, you're not a sweeper of the police force.
Right.
They're two different things.
Okay, so now that we've sort of tracked that out, we're going to move on to other, you know, conversations that have been a major concern to a lot of us and how we've experienced police systems differently. So another thing I want us to really look into is reporting or lodging a complaint to the police free? And of course, I'd like for you guys to share a case study or personal experience. Now, not everybody has been arrested before.
Because I've been in situations.
Exactly. No, I have. Right. So, please go ahead.
So my fiance's mom,
all right,
she went missing and they had to go to the police station to lodge a complaint for a missing person. And all of them were tracking for the case. And at that point in time, me and he were like, wow. So are these police people really very interested? And like 5 minutes later, we just heard, oh, no, this case now 50K like this. And I was like, really, you want us to pay 50K for you helping us to find somebody that is
missing? Even legal? Like, are you supposed to pay some monies to get access to their service?
I think it's not legal. Mm-hmm. The whole system is formed, so everybody will be like, so even we the citizens know that.
No,
it's
like
not legal,
I mean illegal on, you know, structured surface? Like, is it in the books? Is it in the books that you should?
So I think for this particular matter, it would have been nice if we could get the opinion of someone in the force.
In the force, yeah. Exactly.
Or maybe some legal person who understands or who has studied the constitution of Nigeria.
Exactly.
Most of what we'll be talking about here will be maybe our experiences. Yeah. And it might not necessarily be for a fact, right? But, I mean, it happens. I mean, you have experienced what you've experienced. A couple of us have... I mean, there was a time we had robbers come to the house. And, you know, as citizens, when you live in fear of even going to report a situation to those who have sworn to protect you, then you know there's a problem. After they left, we're like, okay, let's go talk to the police. And everybody advised against. Like, that's the wrongest. You don't want to. Yeah, and these things happen all the time where people go through stuff and they keep mum. They just keep quiet because the story then was, yeah, the person you are reporting to might be the person that just came to.
Yeah.
And these stories fly around. Are they true? I don't know. What have people experienced before? Maybe they've experienced one or two bad eggs. But, I mean, the story, it's what it is, but I think it speaks to the topic you raised before this, Rashina, when you talked about bribery.
Yeah.
I think if I'm going to explain or analyze bribery from my perspective,
right.
I think bribery is a product of a failed system.
An impoverished
system. When a system breaks down, when something is meant to do what it's supposed to do, and that thing stops fulfilling purpose, you start to look for other ways to achieve the same thing. And that's where this thing comes to play. I think our system has so failed us that everybody believes that they have to do everything by themselves and for themselves. We don't believe that you can put in this much effort, and by itself, the system is structured in such a way that it will yield results. So because that doesn't exist, at every point you get to, every stage now becomes an obstacle or a leverage. And everybody also behaves in that way. So Yinka was trying to say then that this is not just a police matter. It's a complete breakdown of the system. There is bribery everywhere, in every facet of our lives.
Right.
Even within the workspace. Have you ever worked with a co-worker? Like, you're saying, oh, help me do this. And the person says, so what am I getting out of
it? And sometimes it could just be like a joke, but somehow it's they mean it. Yeah.
And that's the... sometimes I just look at the whole situation and I'm like, where do we begin to purge from? Because that culture of bribery, or that culture has... It has trickled down and it has become our normal, right? It has become our normal. So when we have those type of situations, how then won't it graduate to this whole... I mean, it shouldn't even be a question that lodging a complaint, should it be free or not?
Exactly.
It's not even meant to be a question.
But yet it is. That's
the
weird part.
I've had an experience.
Hold on, Auntie. I'd like for Tone to say something. Tone, do you have anything to say?
Okay, so I think for me, I've had like a track record of losing my ID cards.
Please don't lose this one.
I remember my first introduction to the police officers was... I think a year before I got into university, I was just 15. I was in a software school, so somewhere at Ikwonri, I was just waiting for a bus, and I said, okay, I can't wait at Ikwonri, let me go to Costain. So getting to Costain, it's always a very crowded area, especially when you're trying to get a bus or a BRT. The BRT lane is out of here. So I said, okay, I'll just take a bus. And Costain is very, very popular for, like, if you go there, you can probably use your phone because there's usually like a swarm of people. So I didn't know that. I was like, that was my first
JJC
experience. I was like, oh, get inside. So I was there. I don't know. I got into the bus and I realized by the time I was almost home that I couldn't find my purse.
Wow.
And my phone.
Wow.
So it was someone in the bus that had to pay my T-fare. So I got home and I was like, I didn't even know how to tell my parents. I didn't tell them for like 2 days. Wow. And they were like, I've been calling your phone. It has been dead. I'm like, I now finally braced up and told them. And the first thing they told me is, number one,
we'll have to go to the police station to lodge a complaint before you can get anything. And I had to go to the police station, and I remember my daddy paying 2,000 naira to lodge the complaint, to get a police. There was a letter they offered us, then we took it to the magistrate to swear in. There was another time in university, I think final year, I lost my ID card. Same thing, I had to go to the police station within my school premise to get a letter. So I realized over time that it's already a culture. When you get there, you just tell you how much it is. ID card, 1,500. Now just drop it. You come back tomorrow. Like, it's already a culture. There's a staple price. So, that
you
kind
know,
of
basically
thing.
Nothing's for free.
Free.
You're paying for
absolutely.
The paper, you're paying for the ink.
Ink printer that pays.
Actually, we're going to say something real quick. Sorry, hold on.
I can remember when I was in school too that I lost my. Okay, we're schooling actually. So I wanted to lodge a complaint and all. So I called a friend of mine that had somebody in the police station that had stuff to do with theft and all of that. So he was like, Ati, you need 10k. I was like, 10k for what? He was like, first you have to lodge a complaint, then they need to look for someone that'll track. And I'm like, that brings me to, do you have the equipment to track and all of that? Like, so I have to still pay another person. What if the person you are paying to track is a thief? Just put my phone back. Like, so I think that's my experience with paying money and lodging.
All right, Laji, what's up?
So what I was going to say is, first off, Tom, please always keep
your
ID card to you, your body. That's one. But two, I think in the case of having to pay when lodging, because I've had a situation where I lost my phone.
All right.
Or rather, my phone was stolen from me. And I didn't realize until I got home. You know, because my phone was in my pocket, and I think I was in my pocket. This random guy came up to me and was like, you know, not very handsy. Funny enough, he just pushed me, and then I was like, what's going on? And he was walking, he pushed me. He now came back. He's like, can't you see? I'm like, do I know you? He was like proper like pushing at me and grabbing me. I was like, do I know you? And then the next thing I know is, I was in my head. I'm just like, yeah, I'm just gonna ignore you because I don't even know what's going on anymore. And by the time I realized that my phone was gone, I was already home. Because I was trying to call my sister to say, oh, I'm at the gate, can you come and open the gate for me? And I realized, no phone. Bag, no phone. Wallet is still here, but my phone is missing. What's going on? Once I got into the house, I just told my sister, hi, do me a favor, log into your Find My iPhone ASAP. My phone got stolen. She did it. My cousin and I went all the way back to Ikeja. Went into Computer Village. We're calling my phone. The guy who had my phone didn't pick up the first time, didn't pick up the second time, picked up the third time. He's like, this phone is not missing. I found this phone for you. I'm like, okay, great. What do you want?
10,000.
Find that club. I said 70k. I'm like, oh, wow.
So how much is that? How much is the price of the actual
phone? Buy your second hand phone.
Buy my second hand phone. Buy my second hand phone. Now, the thing was, it was annoying. The thing was, it was annoying because all this time I was calling the guy, there was some policemen in a bus just sitting down, chilling. And I mean, when I say chilling, when I say chilling, I mean they had food, they had drinks, they were chilling, living their best lives at this point in time. So I went saying, hello, sir, sorry, my phone got stolen, and I'd like to formally, you know, lodge a complaint. Can you please help me with it? I'm already tracking the phone just in case, you know, I'm already tracking the phone. It says it's around here. I just need your help to help me find it. I do not kid you when this man said, you have to go all the way to our office in Alausa to go and lodge a complaint. So I am to leave Ikeja to go all the way to Alausa to lodge a complaint about a stolen phone that is in Ikeja. Please explain how that works to me.
That's where area command is.
It made absolutely no sense. I mean, first and foremost, if you're a police officer, I mean, maybe because I spent a while in different places, but one of the things I know is if you're a police officer, okay, someone comes to you in your car to lodge a complaint, you have a radio to lodge the complaint to the main office.
Right.
And then you can log it as you are there and then start the case ASAP. But here, you have to go to...
So I guess that would bring us to, do they have computers in their car?
Are they equipped?
So I don't really think so.
Yeah, exactly. So that's our next conversation, actually. Like, are they really equipped to protect us? Are they really equipped to, you know, solve the problems that we bring to them? That's another.
So within the capacity that Nigeria is, are they equipped? Yes. Do they know what to do? Yes. Because you find, why is it that when there's a high profile case?
Oh, yes, that's when you know that.
A high profile person involved, results come out.
Or results are manufactured.
No,
I think that.
I, I think they actually know what. See, there's a science to. Funny thing is, there's a science to even stopping people on the road. The truth is, there's nothing you can do about profiling. We all profile people. We profile people every day.
Every
you see
day.
Someone and you feel like, don't say hi to me. Right? And you see someone else who says hi to you and you're like, eh?
Okay.
Is it me? You know? So like me? We profile people every day.
True
so
that.
They know what to do. When to do it. Now, the question now is, are they evolving or are they improving on what they know? Now, that's another discussion. Now, if you look at the entire country as a whole, you hear some things that happen in government and you're like, in 2020, for crying out loud, oh my God, this is such
only in Nigeria.
You know, I mean, I saw a post recently where someone posted and said, this is such a shameful thing. I think there was a meeting at, I can't remember, either ECOWAS or something. And our president, Buhari, was in the meeting. And I mean, because of COVID, it wasn't a physical one, it was a virtual one. And he was unable to speak because the internet was bad. How is internet bad in the number one house
in
the country? So, speaking to the entire world is evolving. At what pace are we moving?
True that.
So, we're still living like years back behind the world. So, speaking of, are they equipped to protect us? Well, we've been protected so far. Yes, a few bad things. Yeah, no, in all honesty, a few bad things happen here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even in these developed countries that we hear, they're probably just better at PR than we are. They show us a different side. There's an ugly side to them that they don't put to the news.
Well, of course.
And because we also don't tell our own stories, they tell the stories for us. They show us our own ugly side. Every time they show an African or a Nigerian, they show you a skinny, hungry, Kwashiorkor-looking child. Why must everywhere. You show the ugly... I mean, they now appreciate anytime they want to show Nigeria and all that. They show the Ajegunles, they tell you it's grungy.
That's narrative.
But that's what they appreciate about us. But that's not all there is about us.
So they don't show the Lekkies and all these things.
Speaking to media, there's this series, Jacob's Cross.
Okay.
That was, yes. I don't know if anybody
saw it. I did.
And I think, I can't remember which station wanted to buy it. One of his TV channels abroad in the UK wanted to buy it. And the condition they gave them was that they needed to tone it down because it was quite affluent, right? Mm-hmm. There is this side of Africa. There are some people in Africa that don't know the Ajegunle side of Africa.
That
they've
is
never
very
seen
true.
It before. That's not their reality. So why are you imposing a certain reality on us? Mm-hmm. So somebody says Africa and they think you are coming straight from the
jungle.
And you had a lion and you just got off an elephant.
And you're connecting to stories.
No. You know, so it's also high time that we needed to start telling our stories. And telling the story that shapes our perception. PR is everything. If you hear most Nigerians, even amongst us, most of the things that we've talked about today are negative. So how does that paint us? We're not saying the negative aspect does not exist, but are we actually telling the other shiny and glossy part of ourselves enough? If a lot of us were doing that enough, maybe, because it also affects our own psychology and how we see ourselves. It's funny, they're doing black this, black that. Every Nigerian is jumping on it. When we have our own issues, what's my business? No, what's my business with the black Americans there? I don't know what racism is.
Black lives matter.
I don't know what racism is. I've never experienced it.
We've experienced tribalism, not racism.
Yes, tribalism. Yes. But I don't know what racism
is. But don't you think that racism is like a universal problem?
It is not a universal problem. I don't know what it is.
What are you racist
But guys, hold on. Let's stay in the conversation first. Hold on, Nigeria. Let's stay in the conversation first. We understand that racism is injustice to start with against, you know, people of the black community. And, you know, for some reason and or the other, that's why I and Tone will feel the need to, you know, talk about it on television and say that, you know what, as much as, you know, we might have our own problems here, you know, there are people outside here that are facing that sort of problem, and we're also black people. So how about we champion the cause? But first, we like to look at it from the standpoint of racism is first a menace in the sense that it's an injustice on every level. Do you understand? And that's why we're talking about it. So I understand that you're saying, talking about realities and, you know, what's not reality, but for some of us, we resonate with these things because for some reason or the other, we're somewhat related to these people, right? And I think,
most of them have African
yes,
ancestry.
Exactly, descent and whatnot. So I think that's what we should be looking at instead of, you know, saying that there are different realities and whatnot.
Well, that's not the discussion for today.
Well, that's not.
It's better we don't digress. Not.
That's why I quickly just
it's
like.
It's better we don't digress.
Exactly.
But my point was about we need to also value ourselves. Not until we get validation
from outside.
From the outside, or even from the white skin. While some people have experienced slavery real time, right? Because they. Some, the black Americans, like, they are direct descendants of right. that, right? Yeah. Some of us are also enslaved mentally because mm-hmm. we sold ourselves. So until we get validated, why is it that an artist, I mean, we're all in entertainment,
what
right? An artist is doing something here and we don't think the person is all that. The moment CNN or foreign
so BBC
say
or Fox,
something about... We claim it. So it's almost easier for you to blow from outside in, right? Look at most of the people that are top tier in everything that they're doing. It's all everybody is seeking a foreign validation before we accept our own here. So it needs to start from us. The police were shouting about. Our police, they are not doing half of what these American police people are doing.
But that is true.
We will bash. And we think once you see a police officer, you just assume he actually really doesn't know what he's doing. Comparatively. So I think the breakdown is general. It's easy to criticize and point a finger, but we're all guilty of the same things.
All right.
So I think one thing I'd like to add to something that Bola said. She was talking about us telling our own stories, and I could resonate with that because I saw a video by Ed Sheeran. It was a music video, Put It On Me with LMA, and they were telling love stories from people across the world. So they told a story from someone from Asia, Australia, different places, and when they got to Africa, they didn't even put it on the screen because every continent had a name. They just had Abu and Sarah have a spice farm somewhere in the middle of nowhere. There were just grass everywhere and there were just these two people dancing weird, and I'm like, there's so many beautiful places in South Africa, in Lagos, in Kenya, in Tanzania. Why could they could afford to go to these places and shoot, even if get something from the internet and reference that video? But no, our global representation is Abu and Sarah from the middle of nowhere to represent us in Africa.
Even in the music we once had a client that we did a job for, and the reference was Make It Africa, and we created an African sound, and they're like, no, this is not the African sound. It had to sound like coming to America. Please. It's coming to America.
Or a reality.
Africa.
No, it's America.
No, I've never seen that type of Africa.
We've
anymore.
Never seen that. We've not done all those somersaults that they were doing. No. I mean, we've not done those kinds. And we usually don't scream and yell when we are doing backflips. We just do a backflip. So I don't know why that was.
Exactly. So it comes back seen. To even our failures or our imperfections, we need to find the beauty in it. See, you know how Nigerians behave when a Ghanaian or somebody else abuses a Nigerian. Stop it. We can abuse our own, but it's not for you to put smile. We need to begin to do that even for the rest of the world. While we see our imperfection, but what we need to project to the world is completely different. Because, and this media is powerful. It's Perception. Who says America is the strongest country in the world? We know how FBI operates without ever seeing an FBI agent before. We know what the White House looks like. Any American movie that somebody attacks America, just leave one American outside. He will save America. Tell me what that does to the psychology of an average American. They feel they are heroes. They believe that they have the duty. That as long as it is only them that still has that power, they will find whatever they can to save the day, because that's what they've been cultured into. That's what they've been told. And indirectly, that's what they're telling the world. As long as there's one American left standing, we will still overcome it. But what stories are we telling? That our women are lousy, we're always doing jazz, we're always shouting.
Nigeria.
Most of our movies, our policemen are comedians in there.
Yeah.
They are comic.
I mean,
movies.
Baby Police is one of those movies.
Yeah.
By Osita Ehime, and then it was just a complete ridicule of the police force and what they actually stand for. So I feel like as the media as well, we do need to represent them on, you know,
absolutely,
various level. But also, backtracking to a conversation that Bola, you know, initiated, that was about profiling, and then she said something that everybody does some sort of profiling. I'd like for us to, you know, speak about that, especially when, you know, you meet a police officer, the way that you dress. I mean, she said something to me one time. She said, "There's a feel and there's a look. You know, you come out, you're wearing shorts and a really radical top. Nobody's gonna believe you're a journalist. Like, what kind of journalist are you? I mean, what are you doing?" So, I mean, at the end of the day, it was a take home for me, because while I was resonating with the fact that, you know what, if something happens to you right now, you know, let's say, you know, you probably are not alive, the position that they meet you in, being that you're not going to be able to defend yourself,
yeah,
is what they're going to probably, so there's going to be a theory like, oh, he was probably drunk, you know, out drunk, and yeah, then something happened, he got knocked off. You know, that's how these things happen. You know, mm-hmm, you can't speak for yourself, and then when they go there to profile the case, because I mean, there has to be a narrative behind that situation, and that's, mm-hmm, how they're going to tell it. So I feel like profiling is also very important, so we shouldn't exactly shy away from that conversation.
Yeah.
But what sort of profiling is too much? And what should our police do, you know, when they're profiling? Is there a way that they can navigate around it? Because now we've established the fact that it's important that, you know, you're profiled, right? But how can we navigate, you know, around the profiling? What can be done? Especially when it's not really what it is, because sometimes profiling is, you know,
wrong,
accurate, and other times it's, you know,
so
wrong.
It's a 50-50 actually when it comes to profiling. I feel like a lot of times it's not a lot. I feel like a lot of times it's not even profiling anymore.
All right.
I feel it's more like, okay, you know, it's how so? No, not grudge.
But it's profiling. If you think about it.
So I think the thing is, when people say profiling, it means you're kind of in depth. You're taking a little bit more than, you know, from what you're seeing to create a person.
No, profiling is very surface level. It just means evaluating what you're wearing, what you look like.
Even surface level profiling. There's still a little bit of, there's still certain things you have to do to before you can make a judgment on a person. But in this situation, it's more like there's a picture of what a Yahoo boy looks like. There's a picture of what a
profiling is very surface level.
We profile unconsciously.
Unconsciously, so honestly, we do that.
And it's that thing kind of does hurt in more ways than one. I've had a few friends, and the thing is, I have a lot of my friends who don't cut their hair. I have friends who have dreads because they don't want to cut their hair. I have some, due to religion, their hairs are literally all the way down, and they have been wrongfully profiled. I have a friend of mine who loves to wear black. In fact, compared to him, I probably wear lighter colors, because his entire wardrobe, his room, his bed sheet, all the way down to the interior of his car,
he's black.
He loves black.
Exactly. So,
and you look at him when every time people tell him wear different colors, he tells him, "I love black." Problem is, the day we went out, they told him he's a cultist. He said, "Excuse me, no." And there was nothing he could say or do that would prove that he's not a cultist. Why? Because he loves black. So it's sad and annoying that they put the profiling, and they are adamant about it, even when they are wrong about their profiling.
Mm.
It's annoying and adamant because it's caused a lot more tension than necessary, especially when it comes to young men and women.
All right. So what do you think you might do? Now, this is not for you, Laju, but what do you think you might do as a young person to, you know, change that narrative in terms of profiling? Because now we know that it's inevitable. It's always going to happen if you're stopped. and you come out and you look like, you know, the Prince of Kenya, they will tell you that.
I think we have constantly be told that the way you dress is the way
how you're dressed. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so a policeman stops me and I'm wearing my bum shorts and my top and I'm in my car. Okay, where are you going, young lady? I give you my papers complete. Then the next thing is, because of maybe some kind of things that the society has already said about certain kinds of people, maybe the next thing, maybe I enter my car, I'm about to go there, like, I see how she's dressed like a prostitute or something. Mm-hmm. Do you get? So I think there's nothing wrong with them profiling you how they want to or whatever it is, but there, I think some certain kind of looks already have certain names in our society. All
right.
So it allows them to, like, embarrass you more when they see you looking like that. But I think the police system needs to look for better ways, because things are already evolving, so you don't expect things to be like in the 80s where women used to wear buba and iro and they feel comfortable. So I think they need to understand the place of all these things now, the place of tattoo in the society, the place of hair, a man having hair in the society, the place of a man wearing hair rings in the society, the place of a woman wanting to dress freely in the society. So I think they need to understand all of this and then use it to profile, not just judge me. That, because what they are doing now is not profiling, it's judging. I've already judged you.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm
sorry, can I say something? But the truth is that we Africans, I feel like there's something wrong, because if you go back to the way we were dressing back then, we were wearing tube and short skirts.
Yeah.
And
90s fashion.
We put beads there and we'll look like, yes, this is the princess. When they want to now come and start dancing and shaking their waist to look for a husband. So why are you not judging a girl now that is wearing a bum shirt?
So I think we are confused.
Here's the thing. One of the things I know is this. Honestly, I feel like the profiling system needs to be updated. That's the truth. Because I remember reading a story about this on Twitter. There was a Nigerian-born American police officer that came home, and one of the distinct things about him is he had braids. Sorry. And he was harassed by Nigerian police, and they did not let him go. Until he had to show them that, look, I am actually a police officer, and he showed them his badge. They now thought he forged it. That was the height.
Because as a police officer in Nigeria, you can't look that dapper. That's it.
Either way.
We refuse to believe that you look like
way.
This.
Either way.
There's a look and
look,
feel.
Laji, knowing what you know about the Nigerian police, right? Do you believe they actually thought he forged it?
I strongly believe that.
That those set of officers at that time.
So actually it's plausible.
I don't think they thought it forged.
I think it's not. It's
so what do you think they were driving at?
I think what they were driving at was just a matter of you cannot be better than us. And they were trying to create a conversation around that.
So the thing is this. Falsifying. Honestly, the thing is, here's the thing. If you want to, now the thing is, and this is something I noticed the Americans and the British do as well. When you want to type in British police, right? There are usually two types of images that come out. There's the fit, well-done photo shoot police officers, and then there's the fat, slobby police officers. But you have those two narratives to pick from. But for us here, how many of that do we have?
How many police
men have we seen?
No. How many police stories have you documented, and what kind of stories have you documented? Have you ever searched Nigerian police?
I have searched Nigerian police, and what I saw
was...
What have
you found?
Oof.
It's disgraceful. if you Google Nigerian police and you go to the images, what you find, you would wish you weren't Nigerian. It's nothing to write home about.
They look
awful.
Why don't we
document them at their best? Because this thing works even both psychologically ways. For them. Now, see, I think that answer, therein lies the solution. I feel like instead of saying they need to update profiling, there's no updating of profiling.
It's about your exposure.
It's about your knowledge. We all profile. And there are so many times that you even catch yourself thinking certain things and you're like, Bolas.
Down.
Yes, sir.
I feel like you're going so far.
Sometimes you echo it and someone says it like,
I can't believe you just said that.
You know, so I think what we need to do is to learn to be deliberate. Instead of expecting. I think the problem here is the expectation we place on others outside ourselves. If I know I am heading for a meeting, for example, and I know I'm going to discuss money, and I know I'm having meetings with men, there is a certain effort I'm going to put into how I look dress that day. That's not the day for me to
be laser wear. Fair.
That's not the day for me to be all red lip, red nails,
flashy,
and sexy looking. Because already I have a problem with being a woman in the business world and being taken seriously.
Yeah, right? That's true.
So I have to be deliberate. I'm not going to go there trying to prove that that's not how it's supposed to be. The only way I can prove that is by acting out that, see, if you are not careful, I'll take you out on this. Mm-hmm. Right? So I strip myself of all distraction. I mean, someone can be there and say, why are you toning yourself down to this, to that? Is how some people are of the opinion that, see, it's not marching that is going to solve this. Guys, go out and vote. The black community didn't vote the last time. Maybe what you need to do now is go get yourself registered and vote and actually effect change. Is how we talk about it in Nigeria and saying, oh, Twitter warriors. Twitter doesn't change anything. Yes, it brings attention to it, but it does nothing. So if we were a bit more deliberate, if you know you are not mobile, right, and you need to get somewhere, that's probably not the day for you. And you probably need to go to Yaba. That's not the day for you to wear short skin. Because you know Yaba boys by default will drag you. So do you want to get to the middle of Yaba and start proving female rights? Girl, now, we all have different personalities and there are moods that we want to express on different days. Some days you just want to dress the way you want to dress. Then you will decide your movement, where you are going, where you are going to
that.
And how you will...
Everybody is guided.
And even so who
we need to be a lot... Now, the day you dress like that, a policeman catches you and says anything, you will take it.
Because you know.
Because that is the profile. I saw a post recently where it was very funny. Someone was saying that Simi's song, Duduke, that is, it's a song for people in healthy relationships and blah, 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 that Ron's girls should hold on. That Tiwa Savage will soon release.
Yo! Oh, shit!
Yeah,
oh,
my God!
Okay, so can we get this part out?
And a girl came to her defense and says, I can't believe you're even putting Tiwa Savage and a Ron's girl in the same category. Then, of course, Tiwa also came and said, imagine, Nigeria, they will just always drag you this, that, that. While that is true, but if you listen to the lyrics... So, nope, I don't think that person was saying Tiwa is a Ron's girl.
Yeah.
He only just defined her audience.
A reference, yeah.
Now, if I'm deliberate and I choose that, see, my market, people I want to be collecting money from is Ron's girls because they have money. If I did that deliberately... I'll give you a thumbs up for being able to identify my strategy, right? But she took it pee. I was listening to one of her songs yesterday and I said to you guys, you see why they say Tiwa songs for us girls? Because there's a kind of song that she sings. And if you look at the lifestyle of people who do that, once again, if you had to categorize them, it doesn't mean that everybody who behaves like that is a rose girl. But in generalization, maybe 80% of people in that category are bronze girls. So profiling will always exist. What you can do is to be deliberate about it. And the moment you hold that narrative for yourself, it won't faze you. I've been called a bronze girl. Eh? Big deal. I've been, as in, in fact, one of these days during COVID, and we were going back home, and Inka shows his press pass, and I say, then who be this?
Oh, Lord.
Wow.
Now, naturally, you want to vex, but sometimes you just look at it, you have a problem, right? Sometimes you're not in the mood, and you just... Ignore you it. Just... Yeah. No, you oh, just flip, right? But the more deliberate we are about these things, even with young people and Nigerian police, the easier these things will get. you will know that they will always stop you, and you will right. manage no, no. your,
so,
your
all right, guys. So we're gonna have to round up soon in like 3 minutes. So I understand that we have a bunch of things to say about, you know, our police and why we love them, because we absolutely love them. We absolutely love them. But I do want us to, you know, just take turns and maybe just two persons talk about, you know, solutions that we can prefer. I mean, we did speak about if you were president, you know, what you would do. That's one way to look at it. But, you know, generally, what can we do right now? Now, we're not presidents, we're not governors, we're not, you know, those things yet, but we do have a voice and, you know, a say in society. So right now, how can the matter be addressed? You know, how can you look an officer straight in the eye and tell them that, you know what, this is not how to police? Because sometimes I feel like we do a better policing, you know, job than, you know, most of these people, if we're being honest, sometimes. So anybody have anything to say on that?
I mean, one thing I can definitely say, and I say this a lot of the time, is it's good to know what your right. It's good to know your rights. The thing is, and this is one area in which I know that a lot of people may sometimes come at me about, but I honestly believe that when you know what you as a person, as a civilian, you're entitled to and you're allowed to speak or say, you know, especially within the Constitution, it gives you a say, you know, it empowers you a little bit, especially when you feel like certain people are going to bully you about certain things. Now, that's one thing. A second thing is to also, like I said, do a psych evaluation on the people who are hiring in the police and help and, you know, give them a better living, you know, better living area and better living generally. Because if you do that, you give them something good to come to look forward to, especially when they're going home. They will put what they have inside and give to the outside. You know, because it's what you have on the inside that you give out in right. more ways than one. So, okay. Yeah.
Anybody else?
To buttress what he said. He said, no, you're right.
All right.
True. And I think one way to deal with police is, they say when you want to start driving, you say everybody on the road is mad except you.
Yeah.
So, yes. The best way to deal with them is, they stop you. Stop. They ask you anything. Yes. And be polite. I'm not saying you should smile and open all your mouth. Polite. Because they would have a way of just triggering you. And you would want to reply. But sometimes...
And just like Bola said, I feel like they know what they're doing.
Yes, they know what they're doing. And sometimes they just want to push you and see, okay. And if you just come and they're like, okay, go, just go. You know?
Yeah, that's
but
true.
But know your rights. Very important. So that when they are saying some things, you will not be lost.
Yeah,
you
lost.
Want to collect because there was an issue that happened.
I mean,
the girl
just,
was supposed to
just to interject, I feel like sometimes when they understand that you're clueless or you don't...
They
sort of know what
find a way to
they
use
flip
it against
it. Yeah.
You. So knowing your rights is very important and be polite at all times. Like
so
even
true.
The days that you did just calm down.
My mom
actually ran into them one time and they stopped her and she actually passed the traffic light and they stopped her. And instead of her to just she was like, good afternoon. Mommy, it's a Sunday. Why did you pass the traffic light? And my mom just smiled and said, okay, she was rushing to use the toilet and all of that. And they said, mommy, go, we'll not hold you and everything. But there are days that I've seen her when she's really acting up and then the discussion now starts. Unnecessary discussion just starts. So I think being polite, because if you look at the condition they are under, like under the sun, trying to, so, and you know, we are not all rational all the time. So just be polite and I think you would have
to. Right. I still agree with Ati. So there is this police checkpoint at Lekki Gate right here. So most of the time when we're coming back from work, I'm really tired, but because of I know they are there at night and they can't delay me, so I just smile. So every time I pass there, they'll be like, they'll look at the car, they look at, is this Ati? Oh, Ati, pass. So I get when Ati says you should be polite. I just like over there in USA where black parents had to teach their boys and their kids how to react when a police officer stops you. You have to put your hand on the dashboard, ensure if they tell you bring your driver's license, you be like, sir, can I get it? So they'll know that you're reaching out.
And move your
I think this is a call to all Nigerians to teach their children about what the law is. Because if you look at the school system now, there are some things in history they
there's
don't
a lot
teach
we need
people.
To insert.
They, until they added civics education. And civics is not even doing a lot. So I think we need to train our children, teach them to be polite at all times. Because all right. This thing is even in the hand of the citizen, not even the police themselves at the same time. So, yes.
Okay, so thank you very much, everyone. Just going to say that this is Central Radio and you are listening to Pop Sessions. We're getting a whoop whoop from everyone. Exactly. And that's how we do it on channel 189. You want more conversations? Well, we are on and on the go every Friday at what time, guys? Well, I mean, we can get that to you guys at any time. Yes. But yes, Pop Sessions is officially out of sessions, and we just want to say stay safe. Always know how to react and understand the psychology of every police checkpoint that you know you get into, because it's already well established that we sort of have a failed system, you know, in respect of our police force and, you know, some law enforcement agencies that might already be established. But yes, do better, love yourself, because you know, if you love yourself, you know that, you know, that frustrated person with a gun would absolutely shoot you. Ooh. So
wow.
Well, we're not endorsing that, but you know, just know that, you know, you need to keep calm and be cool. And as a young person, we understand that, you know, you want to be fly and pop your collar, but you know, these people don't really care about you. So you might want to, you know, level up and talk to them in a very polite manner.
They don't care about you. They don't care about that behavior that you expect.
Well, pretty much, the behavior is coming from you. All right. Okay, so thank you very much, guys, for joining us. We are signing out. Ati, thank you very much. Laju, you are absolutely amazing. Yeah. Bola, thank you very much for gracing this, Nana. You know how it is. We love you. And of course, my able producer. Thank you very much for the opportunity and letting me host this one. And of course, Yinka, who is AWOL and missing in action. But he did say a lot before he left. So yes, I feel like those words.
Police stopped him on the way.
Oh my god! All right, guys, we're absolutely signing out. Thank you very much for joining the program. And see you guys next Friday. Everyone say your goodbyes.
Bye.
Exactly. Bye.
Just wash your hand, dude.
And it's a wrap.